As we learned in The Lion King, the circle of life moves us all, and this month marks the 20th anniversary of The Lion King, which at first seemed like a really cool benchmark, and then it just made me feel really old. What about you, Rob?
You know, I was old enough to not pay attention when it came out, and I didn't have kids yet, so most of my Lion King experience was, oh, it's an old DVD that the kids can watch years later. So it's not as much of a milestone for me. It made you feel old, though.
It did, but you know what? It's good music, so yeah. I can live with that,
right. As
I'm sure our next guest can as well.
Yeah, it's the circle of life and why it's never too late to begin again. Our next guest lists his profession as journalism professor, author, and very amateur cellist. He picked up the cello after a long break from the instrument and soon was practicing with the orchestra, the New York Late Starters String Orchestra.
Ari Goldman joins us now. He teaches journalism at Columbia University. His new book is called The Late Starters Orchestra. Ari, welcome to Central Time.
Hi there. Thank you. Thank you. Good to be with you.
So how did you get into playing cello the first time around? You've had a renewal of that interest, but back in the early days, how did you first fall in love with it?
Well, I couldn't stop listening to the cello. It just was the instrument that jumped out at me. It was the instrument that I heard when I listened to an orchestra. It was the one that connected to my very being, and I wanted to play it, but I was busy with life. I didn't have the opportunity as a child. I grew up in a broken home, and music lessons weren't really part of my childhood. But in my 20s, I pursued the cello and found it very hard. It's a very frustrating, difficult instrument, especially to learn as an adult. And I played for a few years and then put it away, but kept listening, and saying, someday I'll get to it, someday I'll get to it.
And then what inspired you then to finally get to it again and pick it back up?
Well, I was turning 60, and a crazy age to try to pick up a string instrument. And I said, I'm going to give it one more chance. And the main inspiration was my son. I have a son who took Suzuki cello and was just, you know, picked it up like it was the easiest thing in the world. And I figured if he could do it, I could do it. And everyone said, you're crazy. My older kids told me, my wife said, everybody said, you've tried this before. We've heard all the bad practicing. Don't give it don't go there. My son, who was then 12, said, Dad, you could do it. And he was then playing with the youth orchestra in New York, and I decided to join the youth orchestra. So I was this 6-foot-tall, middle-aged guy with middle school children, and they were tolerant of me. My son encouraged me, and I played for a season with the youth orchestra as best I could, and then they said, you've got to find adults to play with.
They kicked you out.
Well, they kicked me out, and I live in New York, and to do anything like musical in New York, you got to be good. Even the amateur orchestras have waiting lists and auditions. And then I discovered this orchestra called the Late Starters Orchestra that's made just for people like me who are coming back, who have a dream to play a string instrument and have an opportunity here. And the best thing about the Late Starters Orchestra is there's no audition. If you think you can play, you can play. And I thought I could play. I thought I could play well enough. And they took me in. And that's when my adventure with music began.
Well, take us back to those fledgling attempts when you got it out again at age 60 and you were playing your cello alongside your son. What was it like reconnecting with the instrument? And how bad were you?
When my son was learning and he'd play Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, everybody would, you know, stand up and applaud and go, oh, isn't that wonderful? But when an adult plays Twinkle, Twinkle, everybody goes, that's all you've done. That's all you've learned. You're taking lessons and that's all you've learned. So it took a lot of sort of perseverance. And luckily, there's a little thing called a mute you could put on a cello that sort of deadens the sound a bit. But you don't get good unless you keep practicing and practicing and practicing. Everybody, as I said, was skeptical. Even we have two little dogs, and they would bark whenever I played. And we live in an apartment building in New York, and the neighbors weren't so happy. But I would take it outside. I would take it, in a play in the middle of the day so as not to wake anybody. And slowly, step by step, I got good enough that I didn't have to be embarrassed, and good enough to play with an orchestra, and eventually play in Central Park and play at a concert hall called Symphony Space. And step by step, got better.
Well, it seems like that's part of what you're trying to inspire. A kid learning doesn't worry about being good or not. It's new to them, and they're okay with that. How does a grown-up overcome that sense of, if I do something, it's got to be good?
Yeah, that is sort of drilled into us. And I've had a career, as you mentioned in the introduction, I was a newspaper reporter. I was a reporter at the New York Times for many years. Then I came to Columbia University, where I teach journalism. So I'm accustomed to doing my job pretty well. And to do something poorly is not what we expect of ourselves. We expect excellence, or at least expect competence. So when you're at the bottom, you have to think about small victories and taking small steps and playing one piece well. What helps a lot for me was joining a community. I'm the same age as Diana Nyad. Now, she's famous for finally, after four attempts, swimming from Florida, from Cuba to Florida in shark-infested waters. And when she came out of the water after that historic swim, as the first person to do it without a shark cage, she said, I have three messages. The first is never give up. The second is you're never too old. And the third is that it looks like a solitary sport, but it's a team effort. And playing the cello for me was a team effort. It was playing with others that really got my game up and inspired me and pushed me to do just a little bit better. When you're a soloist, everybody hears every flaw. Everybody hears every wrong note. But if you're part of the cello section, and there are 10 of us in this cello section, and you get some of the notes, and the guy next to you and the gal on the other side get some of the notes, all together, you amount to something that you can't by yourself. So it takes a team. And that was like the most important lesson for me, that I, by myself, I'm a pretty horrendous player. But when I play with others, it sounds good, and it keeps getting better, and it gives me pleasure, and I hope gives my listeners pleasure.
We're talking right now to Ari Goldman about his new book. It's called The Late Starters Orchestra, about getting back into music and picking up a childhood dream. We continue our conversation with Ari Goldman, author of The Late Starters Orchestra, about picking up the cello after taking a 25-year hiatus, and how he got back in it, learned that playing music was a team sport, and is now a cellist.
You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Have you done something like this? Gotten back into music in your adult years, maybe picking up the instrument you played back in the school band? Or have you started up in music for the first time ever lately? Maybe you're taking lessons on something you'd never played before. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post over at the Central Time Facebook page.
And we're going to go to our phones right now and take Stephen in Janesville. Hi, Stephen.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just been listening. I wanted to say that I played instruments when I was really young, kind of the standard, piano lessons, and I think I had maybe 6 months of guitar in there, but never really got into it. And then just recently, a couple of years ago, I picked up a banjo on Craigslist and started playing that. I took $30 a class at community college. It was really cheap, and now I play banjo, and I'm actually getting all right at it. People don't run when they hear it anymore. So, I guess I just wanted to say that, I've always wanted to play music, and I know a lot of people do, and it's really easy to get discouraged because nobody's good at it at first, and that everybody can be a musician, and 99% of musicians out there are not millionaire rock stars, and you don't have to be to have fun.
That's great. Thank you. Thank you so much for that, Steve. It reminds me a little bit of another Steve Martin, who took up banjo kind of late in life, too. And Stephen getting at the notion here that music doesn't have to be a spectator sport. You can get into it at any time. What would you say to that, Ari?
I'm thinking about people who are late starters. George Bush, who just jumped out of a plane at 90. To celebrate his 90th birthday. It's not too late to do music. It's not too late to fulfill your dreams, whether it's learning a language or flying a plane or jumping out of a plane. We're living longer. We've added years and years to our life expectancy. And those years should be meaningful, and they should be filled with things that we love and things that maybe we didn't do professionally, but that we can do not just as a hobby, but almost because it's our destiny. We have to play that song. We have to learn how to do something in life that has always escaped us, and it's not too late.
Thanks for that call, Stephen, at 800-642-1234. Ari, you've talked about the destiny of playing cello. How do you feel? What does it make you feel like when you actually take time and play?
It's a special joy that I don't get from just listening. And it's a special sharpening of the mind and of the body that comes from making the music and knowing that it comes from my efforts and from my hard work. It's just something that rounds out my day. I can not think of going a day without touching my cello. Mm. Veronica earlier said, now I'm a cellist. I'm hardly Yo-Yo Ma. I'm hardly good at it, hardly great at it, but I'm good enough. And it has opened up this other aspect of me, and also opened a community to me, community of musicians. It's fun just walking around with the cello. A lot of my friends who are late starters suddenly have this new identity. They're carrying an instrument, and people say, "Oh boy, you must be on your way to the Philharmonic or on your way to Carnegie Hall." When in fact, I'm on the way to the Late Starters Orchestra, which sort of gets by pretty well. And as I mentioned before, we don't audition, so anybody can join. We also don't have concerts because we're not ready for prime time. We do have open rehearsals so that we play and hope that other people will want to come and watch us rehearse. That means that the conductor may stop us, may correct us, may tell us how to get better. And still, there's pleasure in listening to that, and certainly pleasure in doing it.
And we go back to our phones now. Fred is with us in Dubuque, Iowa. Hi, Fred.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
What are your show?
Thank you. What have you taken up lately?
I've started playing the cornet. I played trumpet, started in the fifth grade through high school, and I didn't play until a couple of years ago. I bought a cornet for $25, and now I play in the Guthrie band, and I just added, somebody gave me a $40 baritone that's a lot of Fenimore, and now I'm playing in Americana band in Dubuque, and we just, anybody can play, and I'm having a blast.
Excellent.
Right.
So what kind of repertoire do you play? You said Americana?
The Americana band, we play ragtime and Dixieland. And with the Guttenberg German band, we play waltzes and focus traditional oopa oopa music.
Excellent. That sounds really fun. Are you
what inspired you to get back to it? Was there a moment or a person?
I was playing accordion in our group, and one of our trumpet players left, and I was like third chair and third cornet, but I started playing and got my lip back together again, and it's been a lot of fun.
All right, Fred, hope we can catch you out there in Dubuque or Guttenberg sometime. That reminds me of some advice I think you've given elsewhere, Ari, on making that late start. He said he got a $25 cornet. Is that a good way to go? Get a cheap instrument to start easing your way back in?
Either get a cheap instrument or rent, because it's a big commitment to buy an expensive instrument. But if you could borrow one, or even better, find one in your closet. There was the NPR station in New York did this instrument collection program to benefit New York City schools, and they asked people to think about what they have in the attic or have in their closet that they could donate to a school, because kids could learn instruments, and these instruments aren't being used. But a lot of people went into their closet and said, you know, before I give it away, I'm going to give it one more try. And they found that they could still pick it up and play, or they found that maybe it's time to part with this. But sometimes we have things right at hand that we don't have to go out and make a big investment for. A lot of people also told me that they were inspired, as I was, by my children. There was a 72-year-old man in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, who told me his granddaughter was in a band and was in an orchestra and needed a violin. So he took his granddaughter shopping for the violin. And while he was there, he said, you know, I haven't tried this since I was in college. I wonder if I could still play. Well, they left the store with two violins. He bought one for himself and for his granddaughter.
Hmm. Well, that's fantastic.
So, kids can inspire us, and sometimes we have the ability to pick one up, or just to borrow one, or to just find one in the closet and dust it off.
Ari, can you leave us with any words of wisdom? I'm thinking about how you were talking earlier about how all the years of our life should be meaningful, even if, you know, we're not 25 anymore. We can do and try new things. Does it extend beyond music?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I made a list of people who started things late in life, and I think they're inspirations. I know that Golda Meir became Prime Minister of Israel when she was 70 years old. Grandma Moses started to paint when she was 70. Julia Child didn't cook till she was 40. The actor Danny Aiello started acting at 40. So that you don't have to do, you know, your best years aren't only your young years. Noah Webster wrote his famous dictionary at 69. And Ben Franklin invented bifocals when he was 78. So the human mind has this great capacity. And we all too often think learning is for children. That's the time of growth. But as we live longer and as we have exposure and opportunities, we should take advantage and continually learn new things and try experiences that we didn't have before.
And Ari, we heard from Jen on Facebook, who says, always wanted to go back to violin or learn viola and cello. Sounds like she hasn't yet. Quick word of inspiration for her?
Go for it. There's you'd be surprised at how much is still in your mind and still in your fingers. If you learn music as a kid, you can access it. It's almost like getting back on a bike. Not quite as easy, because you'll find that the chain has rusted a little bit, but try it and try to find like-minded and like-talented people. And that's what I found with the Late Starters Orchestra. They've really brought up my game and gave me a good subject to write about in my new book.
Ari, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your inspiration.
Thank you. Thank you. Great to talk to you, Bob and Veronica.
That was Ari Goldman, author of The Late Starters Orchestra.